I am super excited to announce that we now have a formal partnership with The Prospect Wizard. And when I say wizard, I mean wizard. Obviously, you have a website. This allows you to convert your website traffic visitors directly into leads. It's not just another chatbot, and it's not AI, but it allows a visitor to call, text, or leave a voicemail. Immediately goes to you, your sales team, or anyone else in the club instantly. MIT shows a study that if you contact a lead within 10 minutes, chance of them converting goes up 9 times that of the average. We got the Atlanta clubs on it, Vita Fitness, Gold's Gym, Mountainside, City Fitness Philly, College Park. Become one of the next Halo companies to deploy the wizard. It's easy to use. Go to theprospectwizard.com, get a free 30-day trial. Talk to my boy, Dave Gallen. He will get you all set up. And let the leads flow based on the wizard. Go get them.
This is Pete Ball on Halo Talks NYC. We are going to talk pickleball. We're going to talk about the guys behind the pickleball clinic, as well as assets for your rackets in Montclair, New Jersey. Bringing Aaron Resnick and co-founder Matt to the show. Guys, welcome to your first Halo Talks.
Appreciate you guys having us on.
And thanks. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So you guys kind of dipped your toe in the industry here. Obviously, pickleball has become bigger than any of us could have thought. What got your head start, and did you see this coming?
We did not see it come. I think like most people that ended up with a paddle in their hands, they started playing because they maybe lost a bet or somebody convinced them to finally give it a try. And like most others, you know, we started playing and immediately got addicted, had no idea that a sport with a paddle and a plastic ball would end up changing our entire lives, but that it did. And you know, now we're here today.
Yeah. Now, through your bio, it says that you went to college with Ben James, who, for those people who don't know, is kind of like the LeBron James or Novak Djokovic of the current pickleball market. I think he was the first drafted in one of the professional leagues recently, which I don't think was on ESPN or any major channel, but it might be in the future. But talk about, did he kind of convince you and enlighten you to what was going on? Was that the first step?
Yeah, I was actually quite reluctant at first when he brought it up to me. But I, you know, went to University of Maryland, first night of club tennis, I met Ben, really great guy, got, you know, close just playing club tennis, ping pong and racquetball every week. And then a couple months into school, he said, hey, should try this other sport called pickleball. I got pretty good. And I said, sounds a little bit weird. I'm not too interested. And he, you know, was a humble guy. He said, okay, no worries. And then a year later, I read a Washington Post article and I see that my friend Ben is number one in the world. And I said, Ben, what is this, Ben? And, you know, he starts telling me more and more. He started a few other ventures, taking people around the world on trips and coaching business. And, you know, it took him 4 years to convince me to actually try it. I tried it senior year of college. And then immediately after college, you know, Matt and I started playing together, immediately got addicted and kind of everything sprouted from there.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you didn't major in this at University of Maryland. So what was the original plan?
For me, I always liked sales and marketing. I probably would have, I was getting a degree in PR and business, and, you know, I would have probably looked to do something in sports marketing or PR, but I always loved having my own business. I had a little shoveling business when I was 12, and Matt and I both were giving tennis lessons on our own since beginning of high school. So in the back of my head, I always knew I liked doing something on my own. But until we started our tennis academy in 2020, First Serve Tennis, I didn't realize that I didn't have the experience and knowledge knowing we could actually do that ourselves. And from there, the bell really turned on. I realized that, you know, starting our own ventures, growing things is really what we wanted to spend our time doing.
Yeah. And what's your background?
Oh, so I was, my plan was originally to go to law school. I played 4 years of Division I tennis at Holy Cross up in Massachusetts.
Nice.
And then that quickly got derailed once we started First Serve Tennis. And the funny thing is, it really came all of a sudden when COVID happened. Aaron and I, like Aaron mentioned, had been teaching private tennis lessons for a few years just on our own over the summer when we're home from school, that kind of thing. And then during COVID, we couldn't get internships. We were junior. We were in the middle of our junior year in college and we got sent home. And then we're kind of just sitting at home trying to figure out what are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do with our summers? And how are we going to further our careers? And then we said, all right, we've been teaching tennis for so long. Let's put together a tennis clinic. So what we ended up doing was that summer, we kind of pooled some of our clients together. I mean, Aaron's this marketing genius. He got so many players that had nowhere else, literally nowhere else to play because every other club was closed. And we started off just on public courts. We put together 3 clinics a day for little kids, like 5 to 9-year-olds, 10 to 13 year olds, and high schoolers. And so between the hours of, I think it was like 10 and 4 p.m., we were out there on the courts teaching these clinics to these kids, groups of maybe 6 to 15 kids. And then we realized, all right, people love this. We're doing really well with this. We enjoy it. We love it. We're going to do this full time. So that senior fall, we ended up not going back to college. We stayed home. We took our classes online because of COVID, and kind of everything just sprouted from there.
Yeah. Now, when you guys started doing this and started doing lessons in the park, just for the entrepreneurs that are out there that are partnering up with a friend, and, you know, one of my mentors a long time ago, and I didn't listen to his advice, he said, whatever you're going to do, get another partner involved. Like, do not take it all on yourself. So talk about, you know, did you guys start before you did your first academy? Yeah. Did you get an LLC agreement? Did you get a shareholders agreement? Did you say, hey, here's the split. If we have to put in money, here's how we're going to do it. Have you had that conversation yet? Do you not need to? There's a show on called Supermensch, where the guy who's like Alice Cooper's manager basically says, we've been in a handshake deal for 40 years, you know, and everyone's comfortable with it. So talk about the entrepreneurial formation side, and then we'll talk about some of the business sides of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cool thing about a tennis academy, at least doing it outdoor lessons and clinics like we did, is it's a very low overhead business. You know, yeah. We private lesson, use that money to buy some balls and a hopper, and then you use that money, you know, teach other lesson, use that money for some marketing, for some flyers, and it kind of grows organically. We actually haven't really put any of our own money into the business until a few months ago. We're actually building a facility, a pickleball facility now. It's the first time we actually, you know, invested back into the business. But no, we had a handshake agreement for a long period of time. And then eventually, you know, a year and a half into the business, you know, numbers started to climb a little bit, and we wrote something out, and, you know, we're 50-50 partners in all of our ventures. And eventually we had to go through the actual routes. But, you know, for the beginning couple, you know, summer doing lessons, it took us a little while to, you know, finalize and, legitimize, I guess.
Got it. So, you know, this is your first entrepreneurial venture out of school. You know, you got a pickleball location you're building now. Did you bring in outside investors for that, or did you get landlord contributions? Were you able to use the money from the lessons to fund it?
No, you know, up until building this facility, again, it was a very low overhead business for our 3 different pickleball locations around the state. We have one in Essex County, Bergen County, and Atlanta County, and for our tennis academy, these 4 separate sports academies, if you will. You know, we're basically making deals with private clubs or universities or hotels, renting out courts on a monthly basis or an hourly basis. You know, and basically just doing that and taking our profits and reinvesting back into, you know, marketing and, you know, courts and coaches and things like that. We've never really looked to take outside investment up to this point.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, when you think about, well, you're running 4 different academies. You've also got the Pickleball Clinic, as a website. What other ventures are you guys in, if any?
I think there's, you can call them sub-media outlets under what we've done. We built a website called NewJerseyPickleball.com, and that's basically a resource for players all around New Jersey to find every tournament, every court, every coach, every local Facebook group. And, you know, if you're on there, it's no secret, so I don't mind saying it. It's an organic lead generator for Montclair Pickleball. If you click on tournaments, ours come to the top, but it right. is the goal of providing value to our community. You know, the Pickleball Clinic being a completely separate venture, really our tennis academy and pickleball academy are under one separate umbrella, but our media company, the Pickleball Clinic, also has, you know, a couple podcasts under it, a bunch of different channels. We have our newsletter, we have our Facebook group. You know, I mean, I've personally like dabbled a tiny bit into startup investing on the side, but nothing really too serious. That excites me as I look deeper in my future down the road. Gotcha. You know, our minds are open, our eyes are open. We're always looking for the next opportunity.
This is Pete Moore. I want to let you in on a little secret. There's this company called Promotion Vault, and what they do is they give out rewards from retailers that allow you to incentivize your members without having to do 0 down and 1 month free, or giving away shakes, or giving away t-shirts. What you want to do is build a rewards program that lasts, that people value, and that doesn't discount your own products and services. So here's the deal. There's something called Rewards Vault. The Rewards Vault is going to allow a member to set up their own profile. They are going to answer questions. You are going to get those answers. you're going to be able to target those members, and you're going to reward them inside your club, inside your spa, and outside of the club and outside of the spa to get them to become loyal, to get them to pay their monthly dues, and to be rewarded properly for the actions. A lot of companies are cutting back on rewards. You shouldn't be. Promotion Vault's your answer. Trust me, this is real.
Now, as you've kind of come through and said, all right, you know, what's the, my friend always from business school says, like, what's your return on time? You know, where are you spending all your energy? So when you guys think about the different opportunities, one, do you have a set of trainers and instructors that you kind of put at those locations? They're always managing that for you. So that business is kind of, you know, well covered and well managed and supervised. And you can say, hey, you know, if I can get New Jersey Pickleball as, you know, a high lead gen engine, you know, that might be my best return on time. How do you guys think about that? Because I, quite frankly, when I was an original entrepreneur, I don't know if I ever like pie charted out, like, where am I really spending my time, you know, on my different businesses that I was involved in.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we definitely don't pie chart it out by any means. But we definitely, and the more we take on and the more sort of projects, this is something that is kind of, you know, it started with just the one tennis academy and then blossom all the way to, you know, now four academies and the pickleball clinic. So where we're putting our time is something we're always trying to be conscious of. And it's not always easy, but one thing that we're doing is we're trying to find ways that we can invest in other people so that we can free up our time. So whether that's hiring full-time employees, right now we're not really the ones that are on the court so much. So we've taken largely an administrative role. We have a full-time operations manager, and then we have a few full-time coaches, but for the most part, we're not really leading all these programs. So for our tennis programs, we have some coaches that have been with us for years that are leading the programs. And so they came up with us while we were coaching everything, and they learned how to coach the way that we were using our vision, our mindset and philosophies. So that way now, okay, we can trust them to run the program. So that way we can take a step back. And then instead of putting our time into the on-court stuff, we can put our time into growing the business. So we can put our time into looking for new opportunities. How are we going to grow our programming, our client base? How are we going to put our time into building this new facility? And then that kind of stuff. But it's definitely something that it's not easy. I mean, we don't get nearly as much sleep as we should. Yeah. And it's something we're still working towards, just being able to have that right balance and figure out, all right, where are we getting the biggest return on our time? But sort of that, just investing our time in different areas where we know as they grow, it's going to be able to free up more time for the other growth areas.
Yeah. Now, there's been a significant amount of investment in pickleball facilities. Some of that's been on behalf of municipalities, putting them into community centers like in Naples. There's others where people are trying to build ground up, you know, whether it's a retractable roof or if it's a fully indoor facility. Some of the business plans that I've seen, I want to get your take on this, is like $3,000, you know, join is like a country club. There are 12 courts. You pay $300 a month and, you know, it's almost like a mini Lifetime Fitness or a sports complex. Solely pickleball, maybe a cafe and a couple of TVs and some locker rooms. Do you guys see that as there's a market, like a top 5% market for that? Do you think that the, you know, targeting the middle market and staying mass market is the best way to play the industry? And do you think that there's maybe too many locations and too much square footage being devoted to pickleball too quickly? So it's like a three-pronged question. You can answer any part of it if you want, or give me an answer to something else. Fire away.
I think, you know, right now that membership model works because of the lack of supply for courts, but there's eventually going to be, you know, a sort of a plateau where the demand isn't increasing faster than the supply of courts. And when there's so many courts all over the place, I don't think people are going to pay $3,000 a year just to have access to some new courts. For us, we're not as concerned because our bread and butter is actually different than most other academies. Sure, we offer private lessons. Sure, we have open play and we'll have leagues and fun things like that. But we're an academy. We have the highest level coaching staff in the tri-state area. You know, myself and Matt are pro players, and we have four other pro players in the team. We have 10 very, very high level coaches. Almost all of our coaches are very competitive, high level tournament players. So our bread and butter is clinics, anywhere from 10 to 30 people at once, usually a 1-4, 1-5 ratio, where we're running large clinics that people are paying for, you know, along with our private lessons and our other type of coaching programs, you know. So we will offer open play and leagues, and we'll even have some special memberships for unlimited open play. We did a special founders membership, but, you know, we're not really relying too heavily on the membership model. People are paying to come learn from us, grow their game, their competitive edge. You know, take part in our programs and, you know, that competitive learning environment. Everything else is a plus and a cherry on top. But, you know, we're an academy. We run the largest tournaments in the tri-state area. Our last tournament had 610 people, which is larger than some of the main pro tournaments out there. And, you know, people are coming in and paying for experiences. You know, and if they want to be a member, that's fine. But
where did you pull off that tournament that had 610 people? How many courts did you need to make that tournament work?
So we did that one. We ended up having to do it on 24 pickleball courts. And actually what happened was we were planning to be able to use 42, but the outdoor venue that we had booked for the weekend, it rained that weekend. We had So we had a last minute pivot. We have some really great friends and partners over at Randolph Pickleball Club. They work with us for various tournaments in the past, and we're very good friends with them. So they were gracious enough to let us rent out the facility for the weekend. And we had to squeeze 610 people into 24 courts, which was about half what we were planning for. But it went well. We made it through. Everyone had a great time. And we hopefully won't need to fit that many people into that few courts again. But it still ended up going pretty well.
Yeah. And from a standpoint of, there's a lot of private equity groups on partners that listen to this podcast, come up with ideas, entrepreneurs that they like and want to potentially back. You know, if you're like playing the pickleball space as an investor, obviously you could get behind you guys either on the digital side as an investment. If I was like a VC, I could potentially get behind you guys on replicating your bricks and mortar if you guys want to continue to grow and get faster growth capital. Are there other parts of the industry where you say, hey, there's going to be the racket company, there's going to be the shoe company, and that maybe takes some of the table stakes here? Because there's not that many ways to make money in the industry, because I got a racket, I got a ball. But I obviously got a lot of other equipment or ancillary equipment or software. So just get your take, given you guys are kind of touching everything.
I mean, I have an idea of sort of our viewpoint on the real growth opportunities, where the most return from people's time and energy and investment in the sport. I don't know if it's the exact answer sort of you're looking for, but in terms of, there's this, I would say, not a misconception, but something that maybe a hot take that we have. I know a lot of others agree with us, but, you know, we love the pro scene. We have friends, very good friends, that are pro players. We play in these tournaments. We watch them. We love them. We report on them. However, part of us, part of our minds and our, you know, what we've experienced has led us to believe that there's ambiguity as to the billions of dollars now put towards the, you know, pro pickleball world. Will these investors see a return on, you know, trillion different sponsors, you know, when there's only 2,000 people on the YouTube live stream, when you know, the tours are paying to be on their network deals? I mean, I think there's a lot of potential for sure. But, you know, what we're completely sold on, what we've built our businesses around, is what we call the 95%+. And this is, you know, commonly agreed upon by all the best minds in pickleball. 95 to 99% of pickleball players, people that have held a paddle in their hand, have no idea what pro pickleball is. They may not even know Ben Johns. And if they do know Ben Johns, that's probably 90% of people that know a player only know Ben Johns. Right. So, you know, people love basketball and they play because they watch. The watching comes first. In pickleball, it's opposite. Everybody plays. Some people watch. We heavily invested our lives, our ventures into the people that, you know, in the media side, just the general, you know, cool highlights, stories on the 90-year-old that still plays, couple that built a court in their backyard, and, you know, in the in-person side, you know, programs, clinics, teaching. And that's really where we think that the growth is going to be, is on the recreational side. As the sport, you know, quickly grew from 15 million players to 50 million players, it's going to be the most played sport in the country in the next 5 years. We're absolutely certain of that. Whether or not it cracks top 10 for 25 and unders doesn't matter, because there's no sport that's ever hit the 35 to 70 year old population like this besides golf. And golf is quite exclusive because of lack of physical ability and, you know, because of price point. Pickleball is very cheap. Anybody can play. It's very social, very healthy. And I think it breaks a lot of barriers that other sports haven't. So I think the recreational side is what we're excited about. And we're curious and optimistic, but, you know, really watchful of the pro scene.
This is Pete Moore. Here's the last tip for you of the podcast. We are partnered up with a company called Higher Dose, higherdose.com. They are the leader in workout recovery products, infrared technology, LED light masks, neck enhancers, and other products such as PEMF mats and sauna blankets. If you have not gotten on the workout recovery train yet, your time and your stop is now. You got to get these products in there before these workout recovery and spas end up saturating your market. Having your members walk out of the club and going into one of their locations for $200 per month where they're paying $39 to you. Let's become an expert in workout recovery if we are already an authority in workouts. Higher Dose, check it out. There's a wholesale code, and we look forward to helping you augment your products and services to meet the demands of your members. And hey, let's get people happy, healthy, and sweating, and the recovery should be just as good as the workout.
So in closing here, as entrepreneurs, and Matt mentioned that, you know, limited amounts of sleep, which all of us seem to have these days. Are you guys morning workout guys or nighttime workout guys?
Well, wherever we can fit it in. I mean, we usually we'll play pickleball for ourselves in the evening, sometimes maybe the afternoon if we have kind of a slower day and we can squeeze it in the afternoon between calls or work or whatever it may be. We've been saying for a while, we got to try to squeeze in some time to work out and hit the gym a little bit. Haven't been getting around to doing that yet, as much as we should be, but yeah, it mostly comes in the evening when we can, but it's always nice. Sometimes it's late at night. You will get on the court at, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock, but even if we can play for a little bit, a few times a week, you know, helps to de-stress, keep our games up, because we love playing as well.
All right. Comedy or drama or other on Netflix?
Depends. I watch so much different stuff, but I'd probably go with comedy if I had to pick one.
Black Mirror. It's an incredible show.
Okay,
comedy, everything.
I like that one too. Since you guys have become entrepreneurs, have you got more OCD or have you got more let it flow?
OCD.
Good answer. Entrepreneurship or what you would be doing. So you gave us your answers on that one already. My last question to you is, there was an article a couple of months ago or a month ago that talked about healthcare costs increased $450 to $500 million because of pickleball injuries. My question to you is, how much benefit in dollars do you think that was worth? You know, was it $5 billion of benefits? Was it $10 billion? Like, what do you think the trade-off is if people get hurt versus people who now don't have loneliness?
I think... billions of dollars, because this sport is like none other in the way that can bring people together. I mean, we have people that come out and say, you know, I was, you know, incredibly depressed and I found purpose in my life. And I mean, so many different things that it's really helped people with. Although the one thing I have to say, we've heard that statistic before. The one thing is about pickleball, it's very interesting, is a lot of the players that come out and enjoy it and love it and find purpose in their lives because of the sport were never athletes before. And they will play for 5-6 hours a day. There's literally nothing like, I mean, when we first started playing, we were both tennis players growing up. We played tennis max when we were training, like in high school, get ready for college tennis. It was like 4 hours a day max. Pickleball now, we get on the court, we're playing for like 6-7 hours a day. So we literally play from like 7 o'clock at night until 2 in the morning sometimes. Like when we first started playing, it was insane. And there are people that are seniors that are doing that, and they didn't know it, and they never played a sport before, and they don't know how to recover. So that's sure. Where a lot of injuries come from. It's not because pickleball by any means causes injuries or is a high impact sport or contact sport, of course, but it's really because it's a lot of people that are coming in, discovering it, have so much fun that they can't stop playing and then don't know how to recover properly. So we always advocate for proper recovery, because we have heard people come into our clinics and say, you know, I saw this stat, I'm worried about getting hurt. No, you're going to be fine. Make sure you stretch, make sure you recover, make sure you take care of your body, and don't play for 6 hours a day.
Gotcha. Well, congrats on what you guys are doing at such a young age. And we use this term halo, health, active lifestyle, outdoors. So we're trying to create the halo effect. And we're basically trying to bring capital entrepreneurs together with partners to solve loneliness, obesity, and diabetes. And the only way you can do that in a capitalist society is to have capital when you want it and need it. So that's kind of our kind of connection in the universe here to try and get pickleball as like the O in Halo. Like, this is the outdoor component, and we want to help people raise capital in the space, to help people do deals. We wrote a book over COVID called Time to Win Again, and it's a caricature, kind of Good to Great meets Where's Waldo, but it's basically 52 takeaways from team sports to ensure your business success. So take timeouts, treat your employees as if they're professional athletes, treat your customers as if they bought a PSL license. You know, take the points when a good deal comes along, take the deal. So we'll send it out to you. We're working on a pickleball book right now as well. So we'll get that over to you guys.
Happy to help and give any feedback, on the book, and, any of your listeners that are ever in the Montclair Northeast area and they want to come out and experience this sport or even take their game to the next level, Montclair pickleball. And if they're in Alaska or China, but they want to just experience what this amazing sport has to offer, we got an incredible online community. It's the Pickleball Clinic Facebook group. It's the largest pickleball community in the world, 115,000 members. We got a newsletter. Check us out. And we really appreciate you guys having us on.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, big things to come. So we'll track your progress. And, thanks for welcoming us into the pickleball industry and to the Halo sector. So vice versa.